Life Audio.
Welcome to the Untangling Life podcast with Rachel Wojo. I'm Rachel, and this podcast is where you'll find the space to clear your head and calm your heart. I'm so glad you're here. Make yourself at home. Well, hey there, I'm Rachel, and I'm so glad you're here today. It is close to spring. Every spring arrives in God's perfect timing, and this year is no different. The signs of spring's arrival are promising progress. This week, I saw some of the first brave flowers appearing in their beds with beautiful purple hues and dark green leaves. And several mornings, I've heard the birds chirping loudly and the sound of squirrels skipping through the branches. The refreshing sights and sounds of spring bring winter to a close. Hallelujah. My husband would laugh about that because he knows that I'm not a huge fan of winter, even though I know it's necessary. But new life is being entered in. Sweet breezes blow fresh air through open windows. Yesterday, I had the windows open, and the natural seasonal celebration begs to be accompanied. After the dingy snowbanks of late winter have melted away, there's nothing more invigorating than the opportunity to rejuvenate your home. And a spiritual spring cleaning is always welcome in this season as well. As I've walked through the house, I've felt the itch. You know the one, the desire to restore a crisp, clean feel to all the surfaces, purging or refurbishing the old and embracing the new. This inexplicable urgency to scrub and declutter every nook and cranny encourages a new spirit of energy. I've been wanting to break out the mops and brooms and dusters and purchase cleaning supplies. I know some of you are like, what in the world? This lady gets excited over replacing scrub brushes. Yes, I do. When I see the words spring cleaning, I also think about organizing and reviving my soul and spirit along with the house. And as a list kind of girl, I can easily make a list. How do you really spring clean your spirit? And so, inspired by the methods of seasonal housekeeping, I wanted to share a few ideas for some spring self-care and soul care. One of the biggest tasks of spring cleaning in our home is getting rid of what is worn out, no longer fitting, or hasn't been used. Some of us like to hold on to things more than others, right? But this first point of spring cleaning for your soul simply is just to purge any old attitudes and allow myself the freedom to move into a new season. It's easy to fall into maintaining a certain spirit continually, even if that train of thought doesn't line up with God's word. And so what if I just ask God, remove an attitude, embrace a newfound spiritual independence to move forward? Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19 says, "Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." I had the privilege of sitting down with Brian Crum yesterday. He's a hospice chaplain with incredibly beautiful stories to share. I can't wait to share more of his work with you in the upcoming months. Some of what we discussed was about bitterness. And so many people in the world think they are creating boundaries in relationships and friends. I know that there is a place for boundaries. But unhealthy boundaries or ungodly boundaries are just another name for bitterness. So allow yourself to let go of what is worn out, no longer fitting, or unusable. That is one way to spring clean your soul. And just let me encourage you, friends, that holding on to bitterness is detrimental to you, not to anyone that you're holding it against. And after that step of really purging out those old attitudes and allowing myself the freedom to move into a new season, on top of that, I ask Jesus to scrub my heart clean with forgiveness, and I forgive myself. I remember hearing a sermon once about keeping short accounts with God, and the pastor explained that being close to Jesus means not only forgiving others, but embracing forgiveness of myself and for myself, accepting God's grace for me. Psalm 51, 6 through 10 says, "Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. Cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." I think after asking Jesus to scrub my heart clean, part of the work that I know the Spirit needs to do is cleaning out the cobwebs of negative thoughts. If I could make this tangible and physical, I would say, grab a rag and dust the words, "I can't do this," or "this will never work," right out of the corner and into the trash. And boy, do I speak to myself. Discarding negative thought patterns and latching on to spiritual truths will renew your spirit like nothing else. In chapter 10 of my book, One More Step, Finding Strength When You Feel Like Giving Up, I break down Paul's clean thought life plan from Philippians 4:8, which says, "Whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." To discover the key to replacing negative internal chatter, I must dwell on applicable thoughts of truth. Truth has to be the guide. This is a topic that you'd like to dive into. Be sure to grab that book, and you can even skip ahead to chapter 10 to break down what negative internal chatter looks like and how you can get rid of it in your own life. God's word is the key to turning negative internal chatter into a disappearing act. Empty out the negative thoughts so the truth of God's word can fill those spaces. And then after I have purged out the old and asked Jesus to scrub my heart clean, and then move to those cobwebs of negative thoughts, the last piece of simple spring cleaning for your soul is just to take inventory of your spiritual routines and maybe spruce them up a little. I take a physical inventory of different closets in our home or different areas of our home that I know need a little clean up, spruce up. Something old or dated needs to be wipe down with a magic eraser. I guess taking inventory of our spiritual routines and sprucing them up looks like asking ourselves, am I attending church? How is my church life? Do I need to get plugged into a small group? Is it time for a new personal Bible reading plan? Do I need a new Bible study? Sometimes spiritual routines getting spruced up looks like restoring stale relationships by connecting and showing love again. Call or text a friend you haven't seen in a while. This spring, we can spend time with God even while we're dusting, mopping, and decluttering. What better time to refresh your soul than during spring cleaning? We can invite God to show us what we might need to clean up in order to grow deeper in our faith and closer to our Father. My baby of the family is turning into a teenager in 1 month. Wow. I will have no elementary years left. And when my children were much younger than they are now, I sometimes wished I could afford a housekeeper. It was so much work to try to keep the house clean with all of the children, and it still is. My bathrooms are on the list for today. But what I found is that I think the Lord never allowed me to afford a housekeeper because I did a whole lot of talking to God while I was cleaning. There's no better thing to do when you're on your knees wiping the floor around the toilet than pray. And I say that jokingly, but really I'm serious. God has always done a work in my heart as I have cleaned my home or whatever area I have worked in, whether it was a church, a school, an office, in my car, my minivan, every time that I have worked on cleaning something physically, I've felt like God has worked in my heart in prayer as well. And maybe you're like, I do not know how you do that, Rachel. You're wondering about this episode today and you just think, that doesn't even seem viable. But I want you to know that my hope is that this episode encourages you to take an inventory and really spring clean your soul this year. As a way of saying thank you to listening to this episode, I want to invite you to enjoy a free resource, this When You Can't Pray prayer guide. Maybe for you, you said as you listen to this episode, really, Rachel, you pray when you're on your knees around the toilet? But I am being honest with you. There is a way to release that frustration of not having words to pray and then embrace the comfort and intercession of the Holy Spirit. You can engage your heart with the truth. God sees you, He hears you, and He knows you. And if this prayer guide would be helpful to you, I would love for you to latch on to it. You'll find it in the show notes. You'll also find it at rachelwoja.com/can't, C-A-N-T hyphen pray. Thanks so much for listening in today. Until next time, God sees you and knows your need.
Thank you for listening to the Untangling Life podcast with Rachel Wojo. If you enjoyed this podcast episode, be sure to subscribe. For show notes and free resources, visit rachelwojo.com. See you again soon.
In a recent survey, parents reported that 52% of homeschooled children need learning accommodations. These parents need practical advice, encouragement, and hope to fuel their homeschooling efforts. The Empowering Homeschool Conversations podcast is where parents gain wisdom on how to teach unique learners successfully at home, like Laura, who recently told us, "I needed this episode. I don't need a fancy curriculum or need to be a special ed teacher to teach my son. You have given me hope." To listen now, go to Life Audio or search Empowering Homeschool Conversations on your favorite podcast app.